A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 64. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this is a bonus show. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So we have some announcements and different things to talk about that just have been building up over the past while.
That's right. And we've got some new releases to talk about, some interesting bits online and some DVDs and other media that we're going to talk about.
British Invaders is now a part of the Farpoint Media family of podcasts. This is something that we're quite excited about. It is an independent podcast distribution network, and they have some great things going both in science fiction and all kinds of areas. And it's really great to be a part of that now, and it's something that I think both of us are quite excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is interesting news for British Invaders. And Farpoint Media, very exciting podcast network. They have an awful lot of shows. I think the famous ones that listeners of this show will probably recognize will be Slice of Sci-Fi and Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. But there's also The Dragon Page, which is one of their original podcasts, and one of our favorites, Pod Culture, which we're very fond of here on British Invaders. So they're all part of the Farpoint Media family, as now will be British Invaders.
Yes, as I said, exciting stuff. It's really neat to be involved with that. And I should mention, we still will be developing our own content, the two of us, so the content of what we put on British Invaders will not change. It's just the distribution, and it opens up some new alleys for us, which is great. But it's been the two of us doing this and crafting the show for quite some time, and it still will be as we go on as part of Farpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. But Farpoint Media will be helping us, I suppose, release and get greater coverage for our episodes, which is something we look forward to.
Absolutely. With the change to Farpoint Media, our feeds are changing to the new servers. So if you're subscribing to British Invaders, please resubscribe either from iTunes or from our website in February of 2010 or later. Thanks.
So after that news, we are also going to talk about some exciting news about online distribution of some classic British television science fiction.
This is legal, legitimate online distribution.
Absolutely, yes, that's right. There's various other methods, as I'm sure everybody is aware, but this is legal.
We won't talk about the other kinds.
Whenever we talk about these shows, we do like to talk about availability and how you can get hold of them fairly cheaply and easily, and preferably legally. So we should start with a website called Blinkbox, which is, I think, at the moment only available for the UK, Brian.
I think that's right.
Yes, but Blinkbox have put up on their UK site 20 episodes of classic Doctor Who from the 1960s, featuring the first two Doctors, William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton. So these are black and white episodes, but there are 20 episodes there, which can be watched online. And we will put a link in the show notes and on the blog and on Facebook if you want to go along and check out some classic black and white Doctor Who for free.
Yes, there's some neat stuff there. And another avenue for British viewers is MSN Video. They now have, I believe, 28 episodes of classic Doctor Who in color with the 3rd through 7th Doctor. And again, these are only available in the UK. And again, they are free. So that's available, and that's good stuff.
As we say, we think at the moment they're only for the UK. If you're from another country and you're able to view these, please let us know. Or if you're aware of any other methods of legally seeing this content online, then do let us know about that as well. And we'll put that on our Facebook group as well. And we should also mention, as well as the classic Doctor Who episodes that you mentioned on MSN Video, You can also go to MSN Video in the UK and watch the original 1980s Day of the Triffids, which we discussed on previous episodes of British Invaders, and also Neverwhere, which was another series we talked about, which we enjoyed, and the remake of the Quatermass Experiment, which was discussed when I think you and Xander talked about Quatermass several shows ago, Brian.
Yes, that was quite early for us. Those are all good miniseries they have up there. So that's neat stuff.
Absolutely. So go and check those out if you want to catch up with some of this stuff we've been talking about on previous episodes.
There is also a YouTube BBC Worldwide channel now, which has a variety of classic Doctor Who episodes again, and also has the 1981 Day of the Triffids and the 2005 Quatermass Experiment. So similar to MSN Video in the UK, but the YouTube BBC Worldwide channel is available for Americans. It's available in the US. When I tried it, I was not able to view it in Canada when I tried it the other day. I believe that may only be in the US, but again, let us know if you are able to watch that in various countries. And tell us what you think. There's some good programming they have available there.
Okay. I mean, we said it's free. I suppose there's no such thing as a completely free lunch. And so to watch this content, you do have to put up with some advertising, usually before the episode will start. But apart from that, it seems to be up there and available to watch, and a convenient way to catch up on some of this classic British science fiction that we've been talking about.
Yes, if these are available in your country, then it's a nice way of doing it, because there isn't usually that much advertising there. And the other thing is there are classic Doctor Who episodes, and maybe even some of these other things, on iTunes, available for purchase in some countries. So that's also available. There has been some news about Doctor Who DVD releases. The BBC and 2Entertain are planning to release all of the complete existing Doctor Who stories from the classic series on DVD by the 50th anniversary of the show. That will be November 23rd, 2013. So by then, DVD should be available for every complete classic series serial, which is a number of the 1960s serials, quite a few, and everything from 1970 onwards. And that will include all of the early 70s John Pertwee episodes will be in color. So the ones that only exist in black and white now, with sort of very sketchy versions of the color ones, all of those will be restored back to the original color.
Also, I think the BBC at the moment have said that they have no plans to do any more of their reconstructions of lost episodes. Previously, they've done brief photo snap reconstructions on some of their releases for Doctor Who serials like The Tenth Planet and The Ice Warriors. But at the moment, they have no more plans to do that.
Yes, they did a release of The Invasion, a Patrick Crichton serial from the late 60s that was very popular. They actually had animation commissioned for the last two, or for the two episodes that are missing. And that worked very well. They had the original soundtracks. It was very popular, but for various financial reasons and various complications, at the moment they're not able to do that with other serials, and they've chosen to not do the telesnap sort of slideshow reconstructions. So at the moment they're not planning to do anything more with the lost episodes, which is unfortunate, but hopefully that will change, and as technology improves for doing these different types of reconstructions, hopefully something will show up in the future. It's also worth noting that the DVD releases are done by 2Entertain, so a lot of these decisions and policies are 2Entertain rather than the BBC, or they may be joint between the two, but both companies are involved with these releases. And the other thing that we're hearing from them is that they are not planning to release any more orphan episodes. The orphaned episodes are episodes that exist but are part of serials that are no longer complete. And they actually released a set called Lost in Time that included most of the orphan episodes, except for the ones from serials that are mostly complete, more than half complete. and they did release The Invasion, as I mentioned before, which was a mostly complete serial, and they did the animated reconstruction. There are three more mostly complete serials: The Tenth Planet, The Ice Warriors, and Reign of Terror. All of those could be released with some kind of reconstruction, and they were not included in Lost in Time. But currently there are no plans to release the orphaned episodes from those three serials. The orphaned episodes outside of those three serials have all been released already, either as part of the Invasion DVD or the Lost in Time set.
Okay, well, let's turn from BBC and Two Entertain releases and talk about Big Finish, who we mention quite frequently on the show. Big Finish are a company who produce audio dramas of a lot of the science fiction shows that we talk about, and they've kept many of them alive after the shows themselves have ceased production.
They do some great work in audio drama.
Yes, they do. They do some fantastic work. And I know, Brian, you're a big fan of a lot of their output.
Yes, I am.
I've listened to much less than you, but the stuff I've heard has been extremely good. And they've got some new releases coming up, which we wanted to mention just briefly. In their Doctor Who line, they have The Lost Stories Season 2. So these are other Lost Doctor Who stories, but these are ones which were never actually made at all. Having had a successful first season of Lost Stories where they did The Sixth Doctor and did a sort of an alternate series of programmes that had been suggested before the BBC embarked on the series that became known as the Trial of the Time Lord.
That first season of Lost Stories is still being released as we're recording. They're in the middle of releasing that.
Right. And now they've announced the second season, and they're going to pick up some Lost Stories from three of the Doctors. So the first set of stories will be from the First Doctor, and these were ideas for stories that were never actually produced. And they're going to be doing these, I gather, as an enhanced audiobook. So it won't be a complete dramatisation, because obviously some members of the original cast are no longer with us. But I know that William Russell and Carol Ann Ford are going to be in the First Doctor stories. And then they're going to do another set of stories for the Second Doctor. And those audiobooks will feature Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury. And then the last set of stories will bring us right up to the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, and feature some stories that had been proposed for what would have been the 27th season of Doctor Who if it hadn't been cancelled at the end of the 26th season.
There is some neat stuff they have planned there. They have not yet announced which stories for the Seventh Doctor they'll be using. They have talked a bit about these William Hartnell and Patrick Crowton stories that they're doing with the companions narrating and some other actors in there as well. And it sounds like some interesting stuff. They're also doing a full cast version of the spin-off Dalek series from the 60s that was never actually made. It was something that Terry Nation had proposed and wrote a script for. So they will be recording a full cast version of that script, which will be bundled in with their box set for the Patrick Crowton years. The William Hartnell years is also being done as a box set. So it sounds like a really neat little series they have there of different bits of Doctor Who history that have not seen the light of day because they've never been dramatized and produced before until now. The main range at Big Finish is also continuing along, great guns. They have been doing things for a little while now in these mini-seasons or trilogies where they will do three stories, three two-disc releases, roughly one a month, with one Doctor and companion or set of companions, and then move on to another three with another Doctor and set of companions. So it means that each year they can do each of their Doctors in one or possibly two of these three-story little trilogies. And for 2010, they've announced the first nine releases that they're doing, and there are some unexpected companions, which is kind of interesting. The first few months, they're doing Sylvester McCoy as the Seventh Doctor with Elizabeth Kline as his companion. She was introduced to us in a Big Finish release called Colditz that came out quite a few years ago now. And she was a Nazi scientist and an antagonist for the Doctor. So she apparently is forced into his company, and they travel together for these few releases, which will be very different and quite interesting, I'm sure. They're also doing a series of three with Colin Baker as the Sixth Doctor and Jamie as his companion. We remember Jamie as a companion for the Second Doctor, but they're putting them together with the Sixth Doctor, which they did on television briefly in The Two Doctors. But it should be an interesting one to see how they do that as well. And Wendy Padbury will be in the last of those as Zoe as well. So that, again, will be interesting stuff to see what they do with that. They're also doing a Peter Davison Fifth Doctor trilogy, which will have three companions from the TV series that traveled with the Fifth Doctor on TV in the mid-80s. So Tegan, Turlough, and Nyssa will all be there. They only briefly overlapped on TV, and it's quite neat to have them involved with Big Finish, with the original actors, because Janet Fielding, the actress for Tegan, has only done one release for Big Finish so far, and had declined to come back, it seemed, but now she is involved again, which is great. And Mark Strickson, as Turlough, has only done a few. So he'll be here for another three stories on Big Finish. So that will be great to have all of them back together from this 1980s era. So that will be really neat to see on there. There is another change for the main range of Doctor Who on Big Finish, which is coming in 2011, and that's that they're bringing Paul McGann as the Eighth Doctor back into the main range. Paul McGann, for the last few years, has been doing these Eighth Doctor adventures, which are separate from the main range, and they're single CD instead of double CD, so there are these shorter, faster-paced little adventures, and they're quite good. But a lot of people have missed the longer stories that are a little bit more classic series style that they used to do with the Eighth Doctor as part of the main range. So they will be ending the Eighth Doctor adventures and bringing the Eighth Doctor back into the main range in 2011. So it, again, will be an interesting change, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with things then.
Good stuff. So moving away from Doctor Who, but sticking with Big Finish, if you're a fan of the British science fiction comic 2000 AD, you may be interested to know that Big Finish have already put out 18 audio dramas featuring mostly Judge Dredd, but also Strontium Dog, another character from the comic. And they have already started releasing the next wave of Judge Dredd stories, which they're calling the Judge Dredd Crime Chronicles, which seem to be coming out monthly at the moment, featuring an actor called Toby Longworth, who gives a very good, convincing audio performance as Judge Dredd. And interestingly, the next episode of the Crime Chronicles that's due to come out in January 2010 also features British Invaders sort of actress Louise Jameson from Doctor Who and from the Omega Factor, who will be turning up as Judge Anderson. So that's something to look forward to next month.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. Big Finish was doing this series of 2000 AD CDs a number of years ago, and they ran for 18 of them, as you mentioned, Damon, and they were quite good. They had some good reviews, good critical success, and the ones that I've heard were quite good. Unfortunately, they did not sell all that well, so they more or less ended that range. But it's really neat that they're bringing it back now in this format where they're doing these two-actor narrations rather than the full-cast drama, which is something that Big Finish has done some very interesting things with. So that will be neat to hear some of those, and those have already been coming out. They're almost finished, in fact. And from what I hear, there's some good stuff there. Big Finish is now also getting into doing Sherlock Holmes audio dramas. Sherlock Holmes has relatively recently been covered very well on BBC Radio with the Clive Merrison dramas, but Big Finish is getting into it in sort of alternate takes on Sherlock Holmes. They're not focusing on the original Conan Doyle stories. They have a first season that is three separate releases. Two of those are out already, and I've heard them. They're quite good. Both of them star Roger Llewellyn as Holmes, and they're actually audio versions of one-man plays. The first of those, Sherlock Holmes, The Last Act, is quite neat. It is a one-man play with Sherlock Holmes as an older man after Dr. Watson's funeral, looking back at his own life and covering things and talking about all kinds of things from the Conan Doyle stories. So that is a really quite remarkable performance, actually, on there. And there's actually a second one that's also come out, also with Roger Llewellyn, also a one-man show adapted for audio. And this is Sherlock Holmes, The Death and Life, which sort of transcends the fiction to deal with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle dealing with his character Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes dealing with the actor. So it's an unusual thing and involves a little more humor. And that's also an interesting one for sure. Neat stuff. We'll have a third Sherlock Holmes drama, which is Holmes and the Ripper. And this is a full cast drama starring Nicholas Briggs as Sherlock Holmes. And that sounds like it should be quite an interesting one, too. That'll be one to look forward to. I think that'll be quite good. And there is even a fourth one that was announced quite recently, which is a three- or four-person, I think, narrated version of The Speckled Band that is not for sale. It is a free bonus to Big Finish subscribers. I think subscribers to any Big Finish range. That is not out yet, but it will feature some of the cast from Holmes and the Ripper. So there is some interesting stuff promised there as well.
Lots of good output from Big Finish in all sorts of different areas. So turning away from Big Finish, let's talk briefly about Red Dwarf, a fantastic comedy science fiction show from the BBC that we covered back in British Invaders episodes 40 and 41, I believe. And the news here is that Robert Llewellyn, who plays the character Crichton, announced on his Twitter feed back in October 2009 that there was a 10th season on its way, or had been commissioned. This was after the success of the sort of one-off special set of episodes, Red Dwarf Back to Earth. And we'll put the link to his tweet up on the Facebook group. But at the moment, that's all the news we have. There's nothing else at all. Doesn't seem to be anything else about it on the official Red Dwarf site or even on the Dave TV site. It's just that one announcement by one of the actors.
Interesting stuff. And there is this slightly odd thing about the season numbering. Red Dwarf ended in 99 and came back just recently, roughly 10 years after it stopped being produced. So they did this reunion three-episode little series after, you know, season 8 had been a decade earlier. Well, now they're doing Red Dwarf 10, and it isn't clear if Back to Earth was Red Dwarf 9 or if there is no Red Dwarf 9. The Back to Earth special dealt within it in certain ways about the seasons and season numbers and sort of suggested this idea of a season 9 that was the best thing ever. So it may be that they're just leaving season 9 as something that doesn't exist, that is referred to only obliquely. But it's certainly interesting to see this series coming back, first as this little trilogy and then as a full series after a decade after finishing Red Dwarf 8. So that is definitely interesting and unusual stuff.
More lost stories or lost episodes. Whatever happened to season 9?
Yes, something like that.
Which apparently was the best one ever.
Apparently. Especially because it doesn't exist. Where have we heard this before? So there's something that we have wanted to talk about on British Invaders and never really have because it hasn't fit into any of the episode discussions where we're talking about specific series. And that is the broadcasters and production houses in the UK. And this is something that our UK listeners will be very familiar with, but our overseas listeners may not be as familiar with. And I know there is sometimes some confusion about this. So I think it's time to discuss this topic a little bit, wouldn't you say, Eamon?
Absolutely, yes. Okay, we'll fill in some of the blanks on all the different channels in the UK. And we should start, obviously, with the sort of the longest running one, which is the BBC itself, sometimes known as the Beeb or Auntie. Most famously, I suppose, from our point of view, the home of Doctor Who. And the BBC is a broadcasting network started all the way back in 1922, but they started broadcasting television in 1936. Although I think as we managed to work out, Brian, they had a brief gap during the war period when they stopped broadcasting.
That's right.
Yeah, I think they were off air then from 39 until 1946 and then back since then. And one of the interesting things about the BBC is that it has always been funded by a national subscription, which is called the TV licence fee. And that's a compulsory fee or a compulsory tax if you have a television set that you have to pay this subscription yearly. Although obviously they top up that with overseas sales of the television shows, and I suppose certainly much more in recent decades with merchandising and selling the DVDs, the books, the toys and all the T-shirts, something which I'm sure they're very glad about, the success of the recent Doctor Who revival.
Yes, although they have been selling books for things like Doctor Who for many years now, back into the 70s.
And for a very long time, it was just one BBC television channel, which then was joined in the 60s by a second one, BBC Two. But that was it for many, many years. But of course, recently, with the explosion of digital broadcasting, they've now extended, I think, all the way out to 8 different BBC channels, although 6 of those are only available on the digital networks through cable and satellite and so on. And the two broadcast ones stay the same, BBC One and BBC Two.
Yes, the BBC certainly is a huge force in British television, the biggest force in British television, I think we can say. And a lot of the shows that we've covered since we've been running British Invaders have been BBC shows. But it's important to say that not all of the shows, in fact, quite a few of the shows that we've covered are not from BBC. And I do hear comments and opinions from various people in North America and other places about British television being BBC, or, you know, everything that comes out of British television is BBC, or the things that we cover are BBC, so on and so forth. And while many of them are, there is another major force in British television that's been there for many years, and that is ITV, independent television. ITV started broadcasting way back in 1955, and they are funded by advertising, they show commercials, and they have international sales, they have merchandising. It is much more like the international model that you have for commercial television. It's something that would be much more familiar to you if you're in the US or Canada or many other countries outside of the UK. It is split into regional units, which are responsible for producing some of their own content and selling it to other regions, or at least in the past that was the case. More recently, it's more joined into one big system. But in the past, it has been sort of split up into regional things very much, and they would have news and weather, films and so on that are all regions that sort of go everywhere, and things that are more local. And many of the shows that they produced and broadcast over the years were broadcast in different orders in different regions, and in fact had to be produced in such a way that they could be shown in many different orders. This was the type of thing you had with UFO, with The Prisoner, with Thunderbirds. All of these were ITV shows. So all of the Gerry Anderson shows, some of which we've talked about, were ITV shows. The Avengers was an ITV show. Things like Time Slip and Sapphire and Steel. We've actually talked about a number of them now. So there are quite a few shows that are out there, and generally in our discussions, we have mentioned if things are ITV or BBC or however they were produced, or done by independent companies of different sorts and shown on one network or another. But if you listen to some of the things we've covered, you will find that quite a number of the shows that we cover are ITV, and in many ways are done quite differently from BBC shows in the past. Going back to sort of late 1950s up through the 1980s, there was a tendency that the BBC productions were done a little bit more like stage productions, and the ITV productions were done a little bit more like film productions. And that was by no means a hard and fast rule, and you had lots of influence from one to the other. But there was something of a tendency towards that in a lot of those shows.
Yes, and you mentioned advertising on ITV, which I suppose reminds us that there is no advertising on the BBC because of the unique way that the BBC is funded. And one of the effects this has is that when BBC shows are sold overseas, they sometimes have to be trimmed slightly to fit in with a time slot and to allow for commercial breaks, because we're not used to seeing commercial breaks on the BBC shows.
Yes, especially the shorter shows are very often a full 30 minutes or 28 minutes or 26 minutes. And in a lot of cases, a international commercial broadcaster will not be able to fit that in and still have enough advertising.
And then in the last 20 or 30 years, we've had new channels have arrived on the scene and in British broadcasting to sort of rival the BBC and the ITV networks. In 1982, we had Channel 4 and also the start of satellite broadcasting with the Sky Network, which has since moved into Sky Digital and a number of channels distributed through various methods, including cable and so on. And we've had Channel 5 has come along in the last 10 years, and a whole sort, I suppose, raft of other digital channels now available to us. I mean, for a long time in the UK, we struggled with three TV channels and then four, and now we've got... I think like the rest of the world, we've got dozens of channels.
The 1980s was sort of the four-channel universe in the UK. And what you had, certainly in the 80s and earlier, and in some ways now, is you would have a bunch of short-run shows that would come on for a few weeks and then disappear, and their time slot would be turned over and used by something else. So the traditional model in the UK was that you had a television schedule that was constantly changing, where, you know, you might have Red Dwarf on for its 6 weeks for a series, and then it would disappear, and that time slot would turn into something entirely different.
That's right, yes. Lots of rapid turnover. Now, with the new channels, Channel 4, Channel 5, and Sky, and the other digital channels, we haven't seen an awful lot of science fiction production from them as yet, although Sky has done a number of co-productions with the US. We have covered Spaced, which was a Channel 4 series, and I think probably the only Channel 4 series we've covered so far, Brian.
That's right.
And as we've just been discussing, Red Dwarf now seems to have found its home on a digital channel called Dave, having previously been a BBC show.
And another example of a Channel 4 show that is at least loosely, if not firmly, in the science fiction area is Ultraviolet, which ran in the late 1990s, and it was a sort of supernatural high-tech vampire show. And that was produced by Channel 4. So there are some things being produced out of those various channels, and Sky Television, which you mentioned, Damon, has been saying that they will be putting out a new remake of Blake 7. And we'll see if that actually happens or not. I know it was slated to happen in 2009, and then there were some things changing around at the network itself. So that hasn't happened yet, but it may yet happen.
We shall see. There's certainly, I suppose, lots of scope for more genre stuff from all these new channels in the future.
But in fact, there is... fairly rich grouping of different channels that have different styles in the UK. So thank you for listening to this bonus episode. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, and if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
And this is goodbye from Eamon in England, and thank you very much indeed for listening.